have him back. And, you know, I told him it's always encouraging when you walk in and see answers to prayer. And that's why I say that we're to pray without ceasing, because, you know, I have a friend of mine who lives in down near Atlanta, and he and his wife want to move to Auburn, Alabama. He graduated there, and she did too, and so they want to move down there. So they're putting their home up for sale. And so he called me the other day, or texted me, and he said, got someone coming to look at the house, pray. Well, I did, and then I called him, and I said, now, Eric, I want to remind you of something. The Lord doesn't always say yes. So simply because I prayed don't mean these people that are coming today are going to buy your house. They didn't. Some people came the other day from Tennessee, and they didn't. Unfortunately for my friend, and he is my dear, dear friend, he's probably my best friend, and I see him very, very seldom, but we talk almost every day. But he unfortunately put his house up for sale at a bad time.
Oh, so he's losing money.
Well, no. I mean, you know, interest rates have gone up considerably, doubled in fact. So that's going to slow the market, but that doesn't slow God. And I told him this, and I know this has nothing to do with what I'm going to teach on. I'm just sharing about prayer. I said, Eric, you have to understand it might not be God's will that you move. Now, if it's his will that you move, one day you'll wake up, by the end of the day, you'll have a contract on your house. I know that from my own experience. 5 years, we looked for a home where we live now. 5 years. I woke up one morning, by the end of the day, I had one of those houses. Wasn't even thinking about it. So, that's maybe I'll help you when you pray. God doesn't always say yes, but if you'll go with his will, it'll always work out perfectly. Because not only did we have a house by the end of the day, by the end of the month, we had our house sold to a couple in Maryland. I mean, just the most wonderful little couple with two darling daughters, and they love cats, we love cats, the neighborhood's full of cats, and God knew what he's doing. Now, you can come on in, honey. We're ready to go. Oh, no, that... they won't be in till you can go back out at quarter till. They'll be there. No need you stand up out there. They, no need. You just wear yourself out. All right. anybody know where we're at? We're in the book of Galatians. Now, we have a verse that we're dealing with. Now, I don't want you to look at your Bible. Please, look up at me. Look up at me. Because this is Sunday school. See, and in school, you're supposed to learn. You're supposed to learn. And so the reason I go over this before I start is to see if you're learning. I know you're not, but I want to get shocked one Sunday and say, oh, my goodness, they're learning. So there's a verse in the first chapter now. I'm helping you. And the first chapter, and it is verse
6.
And it says, no, listen, I'm not God. I can't hear everyone at once. He can. You know, isn't that amazing? He can. I'm going to start over here, and then I'm going over here. Okay.
That you are turning so quickly.
Okay.
From him. Who called you.
From him.
Who called you.
Well, somebody else.
From the grace of Christ.
I'll tell you. Well, y'all almost got it. But that's wonderful, see, because now you know what we're talking about. Paul is in shock. Anybody ever been in shock?
I sure have.
I mean, anybody... anybody ever been in disbelief? Paul is in total shock and total disbelief. that they are so soon removed from Him. From Him. Not a religion, not a doctrine, not an ideology, not a way of thinking. From Him. Who called you into the grace of Christ. That's what we've been dealing with. Now, if you would keep that in mind and turn to Romans. Romans chapter 8. Now, as you turn to Romans chapter 8, I apologize. Les, thank you for doing that. I apologize for not bringing that up. In Romans chapter 8, it starts out with a verse that everyone is familiar with, aren't you? There is therefore now. Now, stop. There is therefore now. Now, I want you to file that under N. That means now means at this very present moment. There is therefore, my goodness, I'm about to pass out now. Well, brother, I can't help it. There is therefore now no. Now, everyone knows what that means, don't you?
No.
Thank you, honey. There's none. There's not even the tiniest condemnation. There is therefore now no condemnation. Isn't that wonderful? Why are we here? No one's condemned. I mean, we don't need to be here. Let's just go live it up. There's therefore now no condemnation. That's what the world would like for us to think. That verse don't stop there. It defines who belongs there. To them that are in Christ Jesus. Now look, I realize, and I don't, you know, I don't get into it. I don't argue it. I teach it. I try to live it. I try to witness it. I try to sow the seed. But I don't expect the world to agree with me. They can't agree with me because they are condemned. If you think that you can just choose a religion to get out of condemnation, you're badly mistaken. I don't say that with glee. I say that with a sense of sadness, a sense of hurting down in here. Because, listen, I want everyone. I don't care about your skin color. I don't care about your ethnicity. I don't care about your gender. I want everyone. Everyone to be in Christ. Because I know in Christ they are not condemned. And it doesn't matter if the world condemns you, but it matters a great deal if God condemns you. Don't fear him who can kill the body, he says. That's man. Somebody could walk in here today and shoot me. I get that. I understand that. Hope the door's locked. No, I'm just kidding. I understand that. But he said, don't you fear that. You better fear me. I can kill both the body and the soul in hell. That's what I can do. But, as our pastor says, there's therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ. It's a position, folks. It's not a wantsome thing. It's not a religious thing. It's not a do-good thing. It's a place. It's a position. It's not a myth. It's not an imagination. It's reality. If you know Christ as your Savior, you're in Christ. And in Christ, now stay with me because you're going to get something today that you're going to think I'm off the wall, but I'll prove it to you. So, hey, like that, I offer proof. Imagine that. If you're in Christ, you're in the only place. You're in the only position where you can never be condemned. And you will stand before God not condemned. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But then he defines who these are that are in Christ, who walk not. Now, the word walk there means have your lifestyle, your way of life, your living. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That's how you're going to distinguish. First of all, that's how you're going to prove to yourself. Who you are. If you're honest with yourself, you'll know who you are. And then after you know who you are, people around you will start knowing who you are. Why? Because, I go to the church. No. Because you don't walk in the flesh. You walk in the Spirit. So that is starting to show what Romans 8 is all about. But I want to connect it with Galatians, don't I? I want to go there, don't I? Well, I ain't going there yet, so you can just hush. I'm going to connect it. I guarantee you I'm going to connect it. And I want you to listen very, very carefully because I'm probably going to teach something that you never heard. But that's not what I'm going to teach. I'm going to give it to you right out of here. It didn't come out of a commentary. It came out of hours of right in here with God. And I don't mean that braggadociously. Not at all. I love it in here. I don't care to tell you. I get a lot in here. I'm in Galatians. I don't want to be in Galatians. I'm going to Romans where y'all are. We have to be wherever you're at, there you are. Now, look down, he says in verse 2, Romans 8. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of... Now, I want you to notice the Spirit up there, and it's capitalized. So if it's capitalized, it's not your spirit. You know, you hear this saying, I'm a spiritual person. Well, no, it's not that. We are made in the image of God. Body, soul, and spirit. That's how we're made. And our pastor says it a lot of times. We are not a body that possesses a spirit. We are a spirit that possesses a body. Now, that's important. That's important, so stay with it. For the law of the Spirit of life... there's that qualifier again. See, you can't just read over this stuff. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Outside Christ Jesus, you don't have the Spirit. You can try to act spiritual, but you don't have the Spirit. So he says, for what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh. Now, what he's saying is, look, if you were trying to keep the law, you can't because the flesh is too weak. You're going to fail. Let's take Abraham. He lied. He's out. Let's take David. He committed adultery. He's out. Let's take Samson. He disobeyed God. He's out. Let's take Moses. He smote the rock. He's out. Flesh can't keep anything. File that. Let it all come together. Because, look, I sound disjointed sometimes. I understand that. But I got this funny way of doing it. It's sort of like sitting down at the kitchen table. Trying to put a puzzle together. Boy, and I tell you what, you start out with those first few and you think, man, this don't look like anything. But boy, when you put that last piece in, you say, well, that looks like the box. You ever do that? You've never done that.
I get two
Well, he has too, see, so he knows. All right. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son. Don't miss that. That's not a myth, folks. That's not religion. That's not an ideology. There is a God. And he sent his son. He sent his son how? In the likeness of sinful flesh. Did he ever sin?
No.
Was he in the flesh?
Yes.
Did he ever sin? Did sin ever taint him? Did the first sin ever get through him?
No.
But he was in the flesh. It wasn't like he had a different flesh, folks. He had the same flesh. But he was perfect. He kept the law. And not only did he keep the law, he took your sin and your sin. I don't mean to point at you. I know that's rude. They tell you in school not to. You can tell them your Sunday school teacher does. You don't care. He did it for you. He did it for you. He did it for you. Everyone in here. You know what happened at the cross? God the Father took all the sins of the world, your ugly sins, my ugly sins, and put it on him. I won't ask you about your sins, but I know about mine. I won't ask you how ugly yours are. But I know how ugly mine are. And I know how heavy that must have been for him. And it was not just so that they put it on his son. His father had to do this. To the point where the son said, Father, why hast thou? He forsook his son so he wouldn't have to forsake you. If he don't put your sins on his son, when you stand before him, he's going to have to do that. Because the Bible says he is of purer eyes than to behold evil and cannot look upon iniquity. I don't care where you live in this world. I don't care what side of the tracks you came up on. I don't care what your position is in society. I don't care what your age is. I don't care what your gender is. I don't care anything about you. Your sin and my sin are the same. And if you don't have a Savior, if you're not in Christ, you'll pay for them. The wages of sin is death, bless God. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. But aren't you glad he didn't stop there? But the gift of God. Glory, baby, y'all don't get that. That ain't a myth. The gift of God is eternal life. He didn't stop there. All the world liked him to stop there. Oh, they're all, I'll bet they're all up there looking down on us. No, bless God, I'm going to tell you what. Hell hath enlarged its borders, the book says. Few be that enter the narrow way, it says. Many be there that enter the broad way, it says. Those that enter the broad way, they ain't up there looking down, folks. You better not fall into that nonsense. I don't care what the accolades are at your funeral. Outside Christ, you're in hell while they're telling how good you are. You say, Tom, you don't ever give us good news. I will. Now, here's why that is. Verse 4, I'm going to give you my paraphrase version of how first verse 4 starts out. For the express reason That word that, that's what it means. For this express reason, the righteousness of the law, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. And there's that qualifier again. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That's what it means to be in Christ, folks. That's what it means to be in Christ. Well, let's see what else it means. For they that are after, now I'm going to give you, if you make notes, make a note. The word after in the Greek there, it means to be adjoined to be attached to be a part of. So it says, for they that are attached to the flesh, join to the flesh, do mind the things of the flesh. But they that are joined to the capital S. The things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded. Now, what do you think that means? To be carnally minded. Well, you do that, and that's why it's translated that. For what reason? That's what it says. Do you ever wonder what comes out of a computer? Huh? Bless God what somebody sat down and put into it. I mean, listen, I know about AI. You know, AIEIO. I understand about artificial intelligence. I need some of it. I don't have any intelligence. I could use some. But there ain't no such thing as artificial intelligence, folks. A robot can only do what a human being put into it and programmed into it. Well, let me tell you something. When you're in the flesh, you're a robot. You remember when they came to Jesus and they said, oh, we be of our father Abraham. Now, why did they say that? Well, because they thought that just being in the heritage or the lineage of Abraham, in other words, a Jew, made them right. We be of our father Abraham, and we're not bastards, they said. Jesus said, hey, I got news for you. You ain't of Abraham. You are of your father. What? Listen, I realize no one wants to hear that, folks. Your mom and dad, they don't want to hear that you could be of the devil. But if you're outside Christ, you're of the devil. You can't convince me that a young man would walk into an elementary school and kill precious, innocent little children and not be of the devil. Not be demon-possessed. You can't convince me. I mean, you can try to tell me, oh, he had a mental issue. Yeah, he had a mental issue, but it went farther than that. I have never wanted to go into an elementary school and shoot children. You say, now you're bragging. No, that's by the grace of God. But when you're in the flesh, you're capable of anything. So he says, for to be carnally minded or fleshly or joined to the flesh, that's death. There ain't no way around that. That's what it says. It's death. But to be Now, if you noticed, the S is
small.
Now it's talking about you. You see the difference there?
Yes.
You see how your flesh, which is outward, is guided by something that is inward. Right?
Yes.
The old nature. What it's programmed to do. Just to the flesh. Just give to the flesh. But when you're saved and the capital S moves in, your spirit then is not your flesh. Now we got two. And I've told you this, and I will never apologize for it. If you are not in a war every day of your life between the flesh and the spirit, you better check up on yourself. Now, stay with me. I'll prove that. That'll be, this is not Tom Foster's thinking. I just give it to you. If you don't agree with me, I've already found out that one person said I was too narrow-minded and I was too loud, so they didn't come back. That's okay. Hey, that's okay. I am loud, and I'll tell you what, I'm proud I'm narrow-minded. Hey. I'm in the way, the bright and shining way. I'm in the glory land way. I ain't getting out. I know that's bad English. Young men, I use bad English, and I apologize for that. That don't give you permission to. I don't want to catch you doing it either. I'm just kidding. I love these boys. Because the carnal mind is enmity. It means hatred. It means contrary to. So I'm going to read it that way. The carnal mind is hateful towards God. When you're in the flesh, you hate God. You don't want nothing to do with God. Why do you think these people don't want to hear about God? They hate Him. They won't come out and say, I hate God. But they'll live like it. And they'll hate you for not living that way. They say we hate, right? In other words, if I give what the Bible says about and this is not judgmental now, about certain lifestyles, oh, you just hate us. Oh no, you don't know me. No, God don't hate you and I don't hate you, but I don't love you if I don't tell you the truth. See, you can't say, if you got children and you're lying to them all the time, don't go around and tell them you love them. I mean, you don't love them if you're lying to them. You know, if you go around to them and say, I smoke him won't bother you. Drinking won't bother you. Cussing won't hurt you. Fooling around won't hurt you. That's just natural. You know, that's just growing up. No, that just lies. And it'll come back. It'll come back. So he says, but ye are not in the flesh. Oh, wait a minute. I went past that, didn't I? For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Listen, when you're outside Christ, you're not subject to what God says. You can't be. I don't care if you come to church every week. All during the week, you will live contrary to the word of God, guarantee it, because the flesh is not subject to it. That means it's not in submission to it. What you say, do we, after you're saved, do you still live in the flesh? You dwell in the flesh. You don't live in it. I'm going to tie it up here. You just stay with me. I got to go to another place. So oh, my goodness. I got to hurry. Okay. Now, I'm not saying anymore. I'm just going to read now because I got to go. He says, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the pinch yourself. Pinch yourself. Ow, that hurts. Y'all didn't do it. What does he mean you're not in the flesh? I'll do it. You're in the flesh.
I'm in the flesh.
Well, you're in the flesh.
But I don't live.
Is that what he's talking about, our skin?
No.
Yeah, that's what he's talking about. That's what the word means. Meat. Look it up. That's what it means. It's what covers your body. It's what everyone sees. And it's what hates God. But when you got the Spirit of God inside the flesh, now you can control the flesh. You can control what you couldn't control before he moved in. That's why it says it can't please God. Don't ever think your flesh is going to please God. It's not. That's why Paul says, I got to kill it every day. Every day I wake up, guess what? I wake up in the flesh. And I got to get the knife out. Huh? I got to get the, our pastor went by the big one. But this one's bigger. This one's real big. And it cuts both ways, coming and going. And if you don't get it out, I will guarantee you this. By experience and by the word of God, if you don't get it out by noontime, you will have done something that just makes you sick. Because the flesh, that's all it knows. It's going to sin. You got to kill it. So he goes on, he says, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the, notice that capital S now. See, the reason he does that back and forth, he wants you to know it's not you. Remember, that's what Paul said in chapter 7 twice. He said, it is no longer I, but the sin that dwelleth in me. I see in me no good thing. That is in the flesh, he says. There is no good thing. Quit looking for something good in the flesh. He says, walk in the Spirit so that you don't fulfill the lust of the... Listen, the flesh is all it knows is desirous things, lustful things. David says, I have set no evil before my eyes. The Bible says, touch not the unclean thing. We have to have control over our bodies, over our flesh. And the only way you can do it is have the Spirit inside you, which means you're in Christ. So he goes on to say, but if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken. You're going to need the Holy Spirit to get up out of that grave one of these days. Ain't no grave going to. There you go, sing it. Why? Because the Holy... Listen, folks, that's not a religious thing. I want you to see that. The Holy Spirit of the living God is inside you if you're in Christ. And it's how you know. You say, Tom, how do you know? Well, verse 14 tells me, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons or children of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption, capital S, whereby we cry, Abba. In the Greek, that is a term of endearment. How many of you called your dad or daddy? I mean, I can't ever remember. I don't think I have. I'm going to say it that way. I don't think there was ever a time that I called my dad father. It was always daddy. Why? I loved him. But more than I loved him, I knew my daddy loved me because he proved that every day. He would get up and get his dinner bucket and go to work. Why? Because he wanted to provide for his family because he loved them. Well, let me tell you something. Every day God gets up. God gets up, gets his dinner bucket, and goes to work because he wants to provide for his children. And there's not any need in your life that he's not aware of, that he won't meet, because he's your father. But he's only your father. He's only your father. And somebody will finish that for me. He's only your father if you're in Christ Jesus. Don't fall for this worldly stuff of we're all children of God. No, we're all the creation of God. But I'm going to tell you something. The Spirit of God has to be in you to tell you you're a child of God. And so he goes on down here and he says, his Spirit, the Spirit itself, the Holy Spirit of God, beareth witness with not with the flesh, with my spirit inside. You know if you belong to Christ inside because you know if the Holy Spirit of God's in you. You can't convince me that somebody can go around with the Holy Spirit of God, Jesus himself, and the Father himself all inside you and you don't know it. Come on in, brother. Now, you say, Tom, why do you take us there? Well, I'm in Galatians. I've been in Galatians the whole time. Galatians says this in chapter 3. It says, oh, foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? Who's deceived you? Who's tricking you? That you should not obey. Now, I gave you four things, and I'll only ask for two. I gave you four things that the word obey means in that verse. I got to get to Galatians just a second. And you can go ahead and answer me. One was what? Huh? There you go. You're looking, aren't you, honey? Okay, I got more cheaters in this class. Looking at notes.
Yeah. I'm learning.
Yeah. See? No, I'm just teasing. Good. Fully persuaded. No, that's what she said. You can't get her answer. Another cheater. What's another one? Starts with a B, next letter's E. Next layer's L. Next layer's
believe.
What? Believe. The next one is what? Starts with an R. Next letter's, huh? No.
Rely.
Oh yeah, I knew you'd get it.
That's cheating.
Well, hey, you got. Hey, you deal with them as you can. So we're fully persuaded, we believe, we're relying, and the next one starts with a C. Next layer's O. Next layer's N. Next layer's F. There you go. Confident. He says, who hath deceived you that you should not obey the truth? Before whose eyes hath been evidently set. Christ hath been evidently set before. And remember I told you it's like a big mural. It's like he painted this big picture. What picture of Christ did he paint? Christ crucified. That's not a myth, folks. Christ literally died. Not because he was a martyr. Not because he was hated by the Jews, though he was, most of them. Not because he was hated by the Romans, though he was. Not because he was a thief, though he wasn't. Does anybody remember a verse in Galatians that would tell us? Talking about Jesus, and it says, who gave himself for us. That's what went on at Calvary. First John says that he is the propitiation for my sin. And not for mine only, but for the sins of the whole world. That's what went on at Calvary. I realize when we look at the cross, it's empty. I get that. Up there is a picture of it up there. Up there it's showing him with thorns in his head. I get that. He's not there anymore. I get that. Praise God, he's at the right hand of the Father making intercession for this fat boy. And I need it. But I don't ever want to lose sight of what he did for me. If he don't die at Calvary, I went through the red light. You do understand that, as Gene says. You do understand that, don't you? If he didn't literally die on the cross that day, I'm still lost. I'm as hell-bound as you can be. I don't even know why I'm here. Until I look there. And I know why I'm here. He gave himself that he might deliver us. Deliver us. That means he's going to take you from where you are, bless God, and take you somewhere else. That he might deliver us from this present evil world. Well, he's going to do that two ways. You remember? I just read to you the first way. We're in the world, but we're not. Why? Because he hath delivered us. He hath put the Holy Spirit of God in us. He's delivered us from this present evil world. That's why I can't agree with them. And that's why they can't agree with me. I can't condone what they do. They can't condone what I do. I can't tolerate what they do. They can't tolerate what I do. We're not in the same world. But they can be. Oh, they can have the same hope I've got. You know, Thessalonians says it for a reason. We sorrow not as those who have no hope. I don't care who you are in this world. I don't care where you are in this world. You can have hope if you're in Christ. Outside of Christ, you've got no hope. You might as well, bless God, live it up. You might as well live like hell because that's where you're going. You might as well party, because you ain't going to have no party then. But you don't have to be there. You don't have to be there. So he says, this only would I learn of you. Let me ask you this question, he says. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Now, that I know for a fact is what we call a rhetorical question. Now, everyone knows what a rhetorical question is, don't you? Huh? The answer's there. And that's why he doesn't wait for them to answer. Huh? In the very next verse, he answered it himself. He says, having begun in the Spirit, well, I guess, bless God, they got that before the law. Because listen, remember the Judaizers have come down to Galatia. And they're telling these people that have believed in Christ, wait a minute now, Christ is good, but it's not good enough. You got to keep the law and be circumcised. So Paul says, well, let me ask you this. Did you get the Spirit by the keeping of the law or by the hearing of faith? He knows the answer because he himself got it the same way. Did Paul get the Spirit by the keeping of the law? Well, let me ask you this. Did Paul say, oh, when it comes to keeping the law, I was above everybody?
No.
He did too. He sure did. He said, when it comes to being a Pharisee, I was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. I was the tribe of Ben. Bless God. Hey, I was trained by the best of them. But he didn't get the Spirit from that. Because he'd kill Christians. On the Damascus Road, it all changed for him. Why? Because bless God, when Christ, he said, what would thou have me to do? and the Holy Spirit come in. So I'll start there next week.